This is episode 462 of 366 Web 2.0 Tools. I recently returned to using Trello as a productivity tool, a way to keep on track of tasks that need doing. In the new endeavor that I'm involved in, that's going to be quite important for me. But I was also thinking that there may be other tasks that I can undertake within Trello as well. And one of the tasks I wanted to do is to maintain a journal of interesting thoughts and reflections that I'm having, but be able to catalogue them and organise them. And Trello will certainly help me to do that. But what is absolutely crucial is that I don't lose them, or that I have a system in place so that they're backed up. Now, this particular podcast isn't about Trello. In fact, it was in trying to find a solution for the backup issue that I came across another application, an online application called Zapier. And if you've ever come across IFTTT, if this then that, you'll have an idea about what Zapier can do. Essentially, it links together different applications so that when an event occurs in one, it triggers an action in another. So for example, if you were blogging and you wanted to tweet about the blog post that you'd made automatically rather than having to go and write the tweet, you could set up a Zap to do that. The event would be when a blog post is published, and the action would be create a tweet containing a certain amount of information which has been automatically pulled from the blog post. So that's the kind of thing you can do in IFTTT. And IFTTT at the moment certainly is completely free, whereas Zapier is free to an extent, as usual in the kind of paid for pricing plans. There's a free option up front which is limited, so you're limited to 5 zaps, a certain amount of activity, and let me just check how often the zaps actually run. So in the free plan, the zaps will only run every 15 minutes. Now, if it is a blog post, that might be something you're not doing on a particularly regular basis, and 15 minutes is plenty adequate enough. But because Zapier, I guess, is used a lot in a business environment, there's clearly a greater need for perhaps a greater frequency of zaps to run. So the free plan is okay to get you started, certainly. If it's going to be something that you're doing more regularly and you find particularly powerful, then you may need to consider one of the paid plans. So how does it work? Well, first of all, you need to create an account. And then the recipes, if you will, like the ones that you get on IFTTT, there are an awful lot already created. And the number of apps that are available that you can link between each other is phenomenal. Literally in the hundreds, 200 or 300, I would guess. So all the common apps that we tend to work in, plus a whole lot more that I've never heard of, are available from which to create recipes. Now, the greater the popularity of the application, the greater the number of recipes that are likely to have already been written for it. So in my case, essentially what I needed to do was to archive from Trello. If I create a post on Trello, I want that to be archived elsewhere. And the options available to me, I could have a Google Doc created. I could have something sent to Dropbox. In my case, because the updates or additions that I was likely to make were probably going to be minimal, perhaps just a quick comment or a reflection, then actually a Google Sheet suffices. And then that, rather than creating a separate document each time, means that I get the data into a single sheet. It's all stored in a single place. But of course, because it's in a Google Sheet, if I need to shift it elsewhere and create separate comments, then that's doable too. So that was what I wanted to do. The ease with which that was set up was phenomenal, really. The first step is to find the Trello account and the Google account online, and then you have to authorize Zapier to connect to them. And a word of warning, of course, once you start to share information across applications like this, you are opening up a greater degree of vulnerability, if you will, when you're allowing one account to connect to another. We've had the certain United Kingdom ISP in the news today, having lost an awful lot of its data due to hacking. Whilst I wouldn't wish to be alarmist, they are the kinds of things we need to think about. So the more that your data is spread around, I guess, the more you have to worry about it. It just depends, of course, on the degree to which you consider your data to be private and how important it is to you. So give that a little bit of thought before you say set up that link. I've done so, and I linked together a Google Docs account, or a Google Drive Google account, Google Sheets account, of course, and my Trello account. Having linked them both together, it was then simply a matter of following through the instructions as they pop up, and they pop up one by one. So then you have to decide on what the triggers are. I won't go through the details of what is within Trello, because there's an awful lot of potential. The way that Trello is organized, there are different areas within there, and it's a matter of just making the choices. If you know your way around Trello, Zapier finds the different places within Trello where you might be likely to have stored data and allows you to make the choice of from where you choose it. And you can be quite fine-grained within that. So you first of all find the places where the information is stored within Trello, and then you have to specify whereabouts in the Google Sheets you want the information that's extracted to end up. So you do have to set up a Google Sheet first. It's straightforward. There are some instructions there. Essentially, it's just about giving names to column headers. And then if you've ever worked with databases, it's a matching exercise. Essentially, what you then need to do is to tell Zapier which columns you want which items of data from Trello to go into. And then it offers the option to test the Zap. It gives you some test data and lets you just try it out. And then you can see whether or not it's been successful. Make any adjustments should you wish to do so. And give the Zap a name and then turn it on. And that's pretty much it. It took a while to describe it, but actually it's fairly intuitive, and you do get an awful lot of help. And I was surprised how easy it was and how successful it was. I had one adjustment to make, and that was simply because of just a mistake I'd made in my Google Sheet. So given the sort of range of applications that you've got, and the kinds of activities, if you want to start to automate some of the things that you do to make your life a little bit easier, Zapier could well be worth taking a look.